If you need a Bible, raise your hand and Reuben will get you a Bible. Someone will. Yeah, you got any Bibles there, Reuben? Yeah, just raise your hand again if you need a Bible. Yep. And Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews towards the back of the Bible, and sometimes we forget. If you're not familiar with where all the books of the Bible are, there will be a table of contents there to help you out, but towards the end of the New Testament. All right, so we are in Hebrews chapter 11, which is, wow, it's a chapter that's just packed. And the Hall of Faith, some call it, the Hall of Faith. There's a lot of people mentioned for their faith in this chapter. So let's pray before we dig in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look at this, this very important section of the Bible, Lord, help us to be people of faith. Help us to grow in our faith. And Lord, we, as we open your word, we desire to hear from you, and we do desire also to understand what you're speaking to us and how to apply it to our lives. We pray that your Spirit would help us with this, help us to go to a greater depth of understanding and also application in our lives. I pray this for the children downstairs as well, as they're memorizing your word and hearing from your word. We pray that they would get to know you better, especially how much you love them, and help them to grow in faith too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So kind of the quick recap of the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, and it is very much a quick recap, very main point kind of thing, is Jesus is better. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about the prophets or the angels or Moses or high priests or fill in the blank, Jesus is better. But very specifically, it's been in the sense of the author of Hebrews writing to Jewish believers who are contemplating going back to the old covenant way of relating to God. And so leaving Jesus and going to that. And perhaps they weren't even computing it as leaving Jesus to go back to that. Maybe they were thinking Jesus and the sacrifices and the temple and all this, but it doesn't work that way. And the author of Hebrews made it very clear. If you have tasted the grace of God and you turn your back on Jesus, this is a very bad, bad choice with very harsh consequences. So, Jesus is better. He provides a better covenant with better access to God. The new covenant. So, really, the first 10 chapters are dealing with we could put it this way, those who were theologically unsound or unsound in their doctrine or their practice. And so he's addressed that. Now as we go into 11 and on to the end of the book, it's more, okay, and here's how to live, and here's encouragement how to live. And we see that in many of the New Testament letters, certainly Paul's letters, really going through what we call doctrine or foundational things in the early portions of the letter, and then getting into the, okay, how do we live this after that? So we have to have correct beliefs, convictions in order to have correct actions. If our beliefs are wrong, then our practice will get messed up. So it's very important to be sound in what we believe or what our doctrine is, what we know and understand about God. So it's not by accident that things tend to be set up this way. We need a foundation to build on. So in chapter 11 in particular, we now move to the need for faith rather than sight. And I think most of us know this, but it's really nice to be able to see everything and understand everything and make decisions based on that. We're called to be people of faith. So we'll have some explanation of that, and then also a whole bunch of examples of people who live by faith. And we're not going to get through the whole chapter today, so it'll take us a couple times at least to get through, even just have a brief look at the different examples that we're going to run across. All right, so I'll read verses 1 to 3 and then I'm going to go back and go through them one at a time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So verse 1, well, these three verses, but in particular verse 1, we have a description of faith. So it says, faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or confidence of things not seen. So we're talking about spiritual things. We can't see everything and touch everything. And we like to be able to do that, have all the facts, weigh them out, see how things land, and hopefully have a very clear, oh, obviously this is the way to go at the end of it all. But faith, really faith is believing in God. And we'll go into this more as we go through the chapter, but it's believing in God, not just belief that there is a God, but believing in God and belief with trust attached. So we believe in God, but it's like, and I actually trust him with my life. And I will seek to obey him. That scripture, well, the two scriptures we looked at in communion, both of those, they point to Jesus himself giving us the example of submitting the will to someone else. He submitted his will to the Father. We also, as people of faith, packed up in that is submitting our will to God's. Like, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. And as best I understand what your will is, I will, again, as best I can, seek to put that into practice, make decisions based on that. So faith, we can't see everything, but it is putting our trust in God and his word and his promises. We can have faith in different things. It's not always well placed. Faith is as trustworthy as what we're putting our faith in. So biblical faith is not blind optimism or wishful thinking. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches to have faith in God and to trust him. Now, just a very practical recent thing about having faith in such. We have faith in things we don't, lots of things that we don't even go, we're not going, oh, I have faith in this. For instance, how many times have each of you walked up that ramp and in that door? And in doing so, you have faith that the whole ramp and everything is not going to fall down. Well, some of us know. Devin, Jim, Ruben, myself, a few others took a look under that ramp not too long ago, Matt, I think, and realized, oh, this thing's going to fall down. Very poorly built. It's now repaired. It is worthy of our trust at this point. 3 weeks ago, not so much. But we would walk up and down that ramp going, who thinks about, oh, this thing might fall down? But our trust is in it. And I'm saying it was not well placed in hindsight. But by the grace of God, it stood, and now it's secure, thanks to some expertise in shoring it up. So we're not called, biblical faith is not putting our trust, our faith in something that is not worthy of it. God is worthy of every bit of trust we can essentially lay on him. Like, he is faithful. So biblical faith in practice looks like us hearing from God, primarily through his word. The conviction of the Holy Spirit does come through that as well. Like, and there's times when it's like, we know, we pray about it, we go to God's word and we know. In certain areas that aren't necessarily black and white that we can find a scripture, we know that we have conviction from him to do something and we have the choice to do it or not. But it very much looks like hearing from God and then being obedient. And I believe as we go through Hebrews 11, we'll understand, if we don't already, that that is not always easy. In fact, quite often it is not. Because the less sight we have, the more faith we need. But we do not want to get into this blind faith kind of thing either. So, and neither does God. So he's not trying to direct us into that either, but he does want us to trust him at his word. So by faith we see the substance and evidence of things not seen, or we could put it, things not yet seen. God's word is packed with promises that he makes to us. Some of those promises, a lot of those promises, take some time to work themselves out in our lives, and some of them are very much future. By faith we believe, and we trust God. So, faith is living with confidence in what God has said, even when we do not see it yet, and then being obedient in spite of the circumstances or even the consequences of having that faith or that obedience. And we're going to see that as we look at examples throughout chapter 11. And I'm sure many of you can think of examples in your own lives as well. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." So those in the past, people of faith from the past, obtained a good testimony or a good report before God. Living by faith will earn us, and I use the word earn, it's grace, but hopefully you understand what I mean. Living by faith gives us a good report before God. As we'll see in verse 6, faith pleases God. And those who live by faith will one day hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I will say this also, as we go into this chapter that has a lot of examples where we may go, well, I mean, these are the exceptions. These are the exceptional people. I mean, they were exceptional people of faith. But first and foremost, we're called to have faith in Jesus. That's critically important. And then we will come across other situations where we're called to walk in faith, and sometimes they may be very dramatic things that others notice, and often they will not be. But God sees, whether it's some big dramatic thing or a so-called smaller, less noticeable, but God sees your heart. And it's faith. And we'll see, as we go through the chapter, I don't see measures of faith. It's faith. Faith pleases God. Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand the worlds are framed by the word of God. So the things which were seen, which are seen, were not made of things which are visible. What is seen was made from something that was unseen." Nothing. How did that happen? By the word of God. He spoke. God can do that. We cannot. It is by faith we understand this, whereas a person without faith goes, "That's ridiculous. That couldn't happen." And then, without faith, often a person is led to some other theory that is ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous that God, by his word, can create the universe, because he's God. Can we figure it all out? No. We're not God. We're asked to have faith in God. Through faith, we can have understanding. Without the faith, we will not have understanding. So faith is critical with the things of God. We'll see throughout this chapter the two words, "by faith." So by faith, we understand this. So God asks us to have that faith in him. And then we understand, okay, God said he created the world, the heavens and the earth. I believe it. I wasn't there, but I believe him because he's God. And then as we go through the chapter over and over, we're going to see by faith. So by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, and throughout. So now we're going to start seeing examples of faith. So verse 4. "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous," or right before God. "God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." with these examples, I'm aiming for just a short bit of background in each. So with Abel, it starts by faith. So he acted by faith or in faith when he brought a sacrifice from his flock to offer to God. Cain, his brother, did not follow the instruction of God and brought an offering or a sacrifice that made sense to him from his fields. And God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's. And ultimately, the anger in Cain led him to murder Abel. And over what? God didn't accept what Cain brought according to his own logic. What we understand, it's not spelled out this way, but what we understand is God said, do this thing this way, and Abel did, and Cain didn't. And then Cain got mad, let anger grow, and killed his brother. What's the point of all this? The point is that Abel was a man of faith. It was a simple instruction, but there was options. There was option to obey God, and there was option to do something else. And Abel obeyed, and Cain did not. Abel died, but who has a good report before God? Abel does. To this day, we talk about Abel right now. Is a man who had a good report or reputation before God because he acted in faith. And Cain is an example of what happens when we reject God's commands and simply do what we want and then get mad at God for it. And it's a dramatic example. The main point here in our text is Abel acted in faith. And at times, faith will be persecuted. And it won't necessarily make sense. Another point here, God was pleased with Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So this is in Genesis 5. Very interesting, Enoch. And we go, why? Why did God just take him? And what did that look like? We're not told. Enoch walked with God, and God just took him to be with him. He didn't experience death. And we know from looking at Genesis 5, this guy walked with God some 300 years. It's a long time to walk by faith before God, have good report with him. And so he's an example of, we don't really know anything about him except he walked with God. He pleased God with his life. The dramatic thing is the way God took him, but maybe that wasn't even dramatic. It's not recorded for us how that went. Faithfulness. Having faith, combining that with faithfulness is very important. And Enoch's an example of that. 300 years walking with God, being a man of faith. And I look at it and go, he just pleased God so much that God was like, come on. Come be with me. I'll take you now. And 300 was fairly young at that time, actually. This is people living 800 years at that time, so it's just a young fella at 300. God took him home. Not a punishment. 300, it's hard to grasp. Doesn't seem young, but really, yeah, he's not even halfway. And God takes him home. That's not a punishment. God was so delighted in him. He said, "You're done. You're done there. Come on up here." So what stands out to me with him, this must have been a very faithful man in day-to-day walking with God. What a great testimony he must have had before the Lord. Now verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him," that is God, "for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this is a well-known piece of scripture, like verse 1. Without faith it is impossible to please God. It does not say without works it is impossible to please God, without earning our favor. And this is not said in a vacuum, right? We've gone through 10 chapters of Hebrews, and it's Jesus is better, Jesus is greater. And if you're like me, you may be going, "This seems familiar. I think we covered something similar to this last week." Repetition over and over and over. When it comes to repetition in the Bible, the thing is to take note and go, this must be really important. If it's repeated over and over, this must be very, very important. So I'm going to just go with the repetition and try and understand better if I can. So Jesus is better, and then we know it's by faith that we're saved through the grace of God. So now we're talking about faith, and we apply this faith to God, specifically to Jesus, the one who is greater than all these other things we've talked about thus far. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must come to God in faith. And here in this verse, we see what it looks like. It says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So two things there. So first, we must believe that he is. We must believe that he is God. This is not simply believing that there is a God and kind of fill in how we want to define that God. Lots of people believe in God, in a God, vague. And lots of those people do not believe in the God of the Bible, because that's very specific. So, one, we believe that he is God. And that means that he is exactly who he says he is. And we believe it, and we believe it enough that it becomes conviction. So we believe it enough to put that into practice or have that belief affect our lives, how we live. And it will, this is very much wrapped up in, so we see faith. It's faith in God and who he is. So, one, believe that he is who he says he is. Two, believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And I think that the first one, believe that he is, makes a lot of sense. I mean, to have faith, we have to believe that God is who he says he is. But this takes it further. Believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And this is important. God actually wants a relationship with us. He is pleased when we live by faith. And he will reward those who have faith and diligently seek him. Now, there are many reasons not to diligently seek him. And time is one, right? I just don't have the time. I want to, but I don't have the time. I should read God's word. I should pray. I don't have the time. The thing is, we do have the time. How we choose to spend the time, that is the question. So the fact that we see here is it pleases God when we diligently seek him. And he will reward those that do that, that take time that could be spent somewhere else and spend that time diligently seeking him. And some of that is seeking him, like getting into his word and praying and doing what we're doing now, fellowshipping with other Christians. Of course, some of diligently seeking him is diligently putting into practice what we hear from him as well, the obedient side. So God notices when we seek him. I believe he's expecting it. He's hoping for that. He desires it. And it pleases him when we do. So important to understand. Obedience is not simply some duty. We could say it is. We are commanded to obey. But it's more than that. God desires that we seek him, that we grow in knowledge, understanding, and depth of relationship with him. And all this pleases him. And having faith, like actually putting our trust in him and saying, my life is yours, direct it how you will. This is pleasing to him and he will reward it. And we're not talking about just the span of some, maybe we get 80 years on this earth, but eternity. That's what we're talking about. So he rewards people of faith. And this isn't the primary motivator, but it is a fact. He will do this, and he does do this. Seven, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. So he feared God enough to act. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah is a guy, well, we think of the ark, right? He built this huge boat, puts all the animals and his family on it. I wonder if sometimes we forget just exactly what Noah was living in when this all happened. Noah lived a righteous life. We're told he's a righteous man. And this is Genesis 6. But he lived a righteous life in a time when everyone did evil all the time. All their thoughts were towards evil. Of all the people on the earth, it was only his family that was saved. Everyone else rejected it, which means no one else had faith in God whatsoever. So everyone did evil all the time. He hears from God, and he builds the ark. I didn't look up, so I'm going by memory. I think around 400 feet long. I mean, it was big. it never even rained then. Rain didn't fall on the earth. It was more like a dew thing happened to cause growth. So he builds this thing on dry land because a flood's coming. It took him 100 years. That's commitment. I mean, he lived a lot longer than us, but still 100 years was a good chunk of a life. Building a boat where there's no water. Can you imagine the mockery and ridicule? And he's, you know, trying to preach righteousness at the same time as he's doing all this. No one accepted that. Like, no one else got on the ark other than his family. Do you think of the faith? It's one thing to go, okay, I heard from the Lord, I need to build a boat. You're 50, I'm wondering, you know, how much longer do we have to go? I'm still getting mocked. It would not have been easy. So here's the thing. God does not mind asking us or having us do hard things. And I personally believe, like, one of the really dangerous teachings that's out there in some circles at least is that the way you know that you have God's favor is essentially everything's going great. Like, you're healthy, you're wealthy, you're all this stuff, right? I don't know what Bible they read. Because that teaching is essentially going, and it's taught with a, you know, if you have enough faith, these things will happen. But I look at it and go, it's essentially saying, if you have enough faith, you'll get to a place where you don't need any faith because everything will be great. It does not make any sense to me. And it's kind of a faith in faith, and I don't know. It goes off of scripture, so there's no point trying to chase down how it makes sense because it doesn't. Back to the main point, we are instructed to have faith. This chapter in particular is an encouragement to put into practice what we know. And so we have these examples. And remember, it was hard for the Hebrew Christians that the book of Hebrews is written to. So in order to understand the context, realize that this is very much written as a, okay, don't leave Christ for something else. For those of you that are facing persecution and you're suffering loss and harm, and some of you just want to go and sort of cave in and just go back to where it's easier and comfortable and escape this, don't do it. Like, because the consequence of rejecting Christ is so harsh. But now as we get into chapter 11, there's also all these examples of, hey, you're not the first one to have it hard. And look at all these people that have done hard things by faith, and they have pleased God. And he rewarded them, and he will reward you. So God doesn't mind having us do hard things. It builds faith. It requires faith. Easy things don't take faith. If I can see it and it's easy for me. Am I praying, Lord, help me when something's a walk in the park? Probably not. So by faith, Noah obeyed God, and we see he had a righteous fear. This is important. He feared the Lord, not man or men, mankind. And for 100 years, he was mocked. He must have been. And the people around him only wanted to do evil all the time. He would have been, what kind of target would he have been? They only had one righteous guy to persecute. And his family, right? I'm sure they attacked each other as well, but as far as going after the righteous, he was it. He persevered. And we see with him specifically, his faith saved his house or his family. This is important to note too. You want to look after your family. You want to save your family. Protect your family. All these things run through the list. Be a man or a woman of faith. God will look after your family or to help you to do it well. There was probably other things that Noah, I'm surmising, but there was probably other things he might have thought were important to do for his family other than building a boat where there's no water. But they helped him with it. And the key is they got on it with him and they were saved. But it says it in our text. His faith saved his house. Worth noting. 8-10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I do take some comfort in that at times. Abraham held up as a man of faith. He didn't know where he was going a good chunk of the time. But he was doing his best to obey God. Some rough patches along the way. We're not going to get into that right now. It was not perfect. But there was consistency over time. And make a mistake, come back to faith. He would trust in himself, but then he would come back to faith. But he didn't always know where he was going. That's the faith part. I can't see it all, but I'm pointed in the direction, at least, that God told me to point. 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So his descendants had the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The ultimate fulfillment of the promise was way farther down the line than Abraham ever got. But he had faith. That's the important part. So when Abraham was told to go and leave everything that represented security, and that's essentially what it was, he was set up. He was secure. God told him to go. So he went. And a closer look at Abraham's life would show that God rewarded him for diligently being faithful. So he had faith. And with Abraham, one of the things that stands out to me is he very much took God at his word. Like I said, not perfectly, but whether it was leaving everything that was comfortable and just going off into a foreign land, he did it. God's promise of his son. Again, not a perfect record with that, but ultimately believed and it happened. God tells him to sacrifice that son. He just obeyed. He just kept obeying until that point when God said, stepped in and went, okay. You don't have to do this. So that's simple. God says it, I will do it. Keeping it simple. I like that. So with faith is not comfortable. However, and this is my thought on it with faith, one of my thoughts, faith is not comfortable. It's challenging. It's very challenging. However, once you have experienced or tasted the richness of walking by faith, so we see over and over in our text, by faith, by faith, by faith. Once you've tasted a bit of that, living by sight becomes very dull. Some of you know this. Perhaps some of you don't yet. But it's true. Like living by sight and everything is comfortable becomes very dull. Because it's, you put your trust in something, you get what it can deliver. Generally, that's a lot less than what God can deliver. Well, generally, always. Faith is so much better. But it is challenging. We're designed to be able to face challenge. I believe that. By faith. God will walk us through it. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So she judged, decided that God would be faithful. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, they were both too old to have children, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So Sarah as well as Abraham, they both had faith. And like I've said, it wasn't executed perfectly in all their decisions. But when they made mistakes, they came back to having faith. So at the end of the day, how does God view them? And this is important. He views them not by all the mistakes they made, but by the faith that they had. So we should remember that. Okay, I want to get through a couple more verses here. So, and if we speed through too fast, we'll recover some of it next time. 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. All these men and women of faith that we see in this chapter, and there's many others, countless others, they didn't see all the promises fulfilled in their lifetime, many of them. And many of the ones they did see fulfilled took a long time coming. By faith, they saw them afar off as already done. Like the confidence was there that if God said it, like to Abraham, I will make your descendants a great nation. He never saw that, but afar off, he saw that it will be done. I may not personally see it, but God says it will happen, and it will happen, and he believed it is being done. For us, an example, a general one for all of us. Our place in heaven may seem afar off. Heaven may seem a long ways away. But the promise of a home there, citizenship there, is real. Do you believe it? Like, do you know it? And that this is the strength of faith that we're talking about is Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And so then how do we receive that or take that? By faith we go, if Jesus said it, I believe it. And there's a place for me in his Father's house. And one day I'll see it. I don't see it now, but I know it's there. Philippians 3:20, Paul talks about our citizenship is in heaven. And if by faith we can actually believe that and understand that, it will help us a lot with how we conduct ourselves here in Canada. If everything hinges on our citizenship being in Canada, that's a little different than our citizenship being in heaven. And I have a lot more hope as a citizen of heaven than I do of a citizen, as a citizen of Canada. Heaven's a much better place. And righteousness rules. So last verses 15 and 16. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. And this is where I wanted to get to this morning. They would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. So again, we'll pick Abraham as an example. He left his country. God told him to leave, and he left. He didn't quite know where he was going a good chunk of the time. He did end up there where he was supposed to be. But he left his country. Now, if he had spent all his time thinking about what he had left, he probably would have returned. And this is important to understand. Verse 15 again. And truly, if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, those Christians, they're contemplating the system that they had left, the old covenant. So they're being very much encouraged here, told, if you consider what God has called you out of, where God has taken you from, if you spend all your time thinking about that and not about where he is directing you to, you will have the opportunity to go back, which I believe means you're going to see those opportunities and want to take them. Don't focus on what God has called us to leave behind, but focus on him. It goes back to verse 6. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and hope for the promise or promises that he has made. To 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. So our citizenship is not here on earth. It is in heaven. And so we do live as sojourners, pilgrims, aliens, because our citizenship is in heaven. And it's good to have that understanding. By faith, have that understanding as we seek to live in the world that we live in today, but then diligently seek the Lord and make decisions and live by faith, not by sight. And faith will help us have the understanding to see what it is God would have us do. If we keep grabbing onto sight, we will miss the steps of faith. And I do believe if we're in doubt, bring it before the Lord. Like, be in his word. He'll show us, and then talk to him. Lord, I want to be a man or a woman of faith. Help me. I want to be like all these people where it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. I too want to have a good report before you. And I believe God will honor that. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word once again. It's just awesome to dig into your word. And as we've looked at this topic of faith, Lord, I pray you'd help us be people of faith. And that we would believe that you are who you say you are, and that we would diligently seek you. And Lord, we know that you will bless us and reward us in whatever way you see fit. And the fact that you have saved us from the debt we owe, you don't owe us anything. But we humbly receive that which you give us, salvation and so many other blessings and promises and richness in our lives. So we thank you, Lord. You are a good and gracious God and so faithful. Help us to be people of enduring faith, having faith and being faithful through the years that you give us. We can only do this in your strength, Lord. by the power of your Spirit. We pray that would be the case. In Jesus' name, amen.